Good morning, church. I'm so happy to have this Passover service with you, and I greet each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus and the love of God. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be speaking to you this morning, and I want to wish each one of you a very happy, blessed, and prosperous Passover season. Shalom, shalom, Victory Faith Church. Hallelujah. Before I share the word with you this morning, I want to speak a few words to you about Dr. Jerry Savelle's homegoing. I know all of you have heard that on Monday, the 15th of April, 2024, just a few days ago, Dr. Savelle, our brother Jerry, as we fondly called him, went home to be with Jesus. And I can't tell you what a shock that's been for all of us. I think in my thinking, I thought we would have him 10, 15, or 20 more years. But the Lord called him home, and we know he had such an abundant entrance as he entered the other side of glory. I want to encourage you, and I know you would expect this, but Brother Jerry was faithful to the end. He was in California preaching when he went home. He preached Saturday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and then Monday morning, he went home to be with the Lord. And he is in heaven. I know he's there with Pastor Wade and all his loved ones who have gone before him. So today, as I'm recording this service for you, we've not had his memorial service yet, but when you see this video, all of that will be completed. In Victory Faith Church, we always want to honor Brother Jerry as a great man of God. Many tributes have been written about him. I wrote one that is on our ministry website and on Victory Faith Church social media. And I can remember, I just want to say this briefly, that when I didn't even know I was called to the ministry, the Lord supernaturally led me to Brother Jerry's ministry, and I became a teacher, a high school teacher, in the school that he had at that time, Overcoming Faith Academy. And then I went to his Christian school, having no clue I was called to the ministry. But Brother Jerry evidently saw something in me, and he began asking me to teach in his meetings, and the rest is history. Eventually, we came to Kenya and have loved all the decades of living in Kenya and still serving you and the nation of Kenya. I'm forever grateful that I received my own call through the ministry of Dr. Jerry Savelle. And I want to encourage you, church, he loved Kenya so much. Kenya is the first nation where Dr. Savelle preached the gospel outside the United States. He sowed so much seed in Kenya. And as far as I am concerned, and Pastor Davies is concerned, and Victory Faith Church and Living Faith International, we will always honor and esteem Dr. Jerry Savelle. This message that I'm going to be sharing with you today is a Passover message for 5784, that's the Hebrew year we're in, or 2024 in the Gentile calendar. There are as we go into the celebration of Passover. I encourage you to celebrate the feasts of 2024 with your whole heart, because every year with God brings cycles. Now, God brings forth cycles of blessing and progress and prosperity and goodness. But the enemy also has his cycles, and I think they're very evident on the world stage today. The enemy has cycles of destruction, where there is chaos, strife, poverty, destruction, all kinds of abuse. These are the cycles of the enemy. And Satan brings these cycles in order to destroy the will of God for the lives of people, the plans and the purposes of God for those who are living in rebellion. He wants them not to know God and not to yield to the will of God for their lives. And these cycles of destruction can run in families. They can run in tribes. They can run in communities, and they can run in nations, so that the will of God is never recognized, it is never known, and the will of God is never fulfilled in the lives of the individuals who live in cycles of destruction. But the good news is you can come out of destruction and begin to live in the cycles of God's blessing and His goodness. Someone say amen. How many of you want blessings instead of destructions? Shout amen, somebody. I know, I can hear you. Hallelujah, you're shouting real good today. There are cycles of life and cycles of blessing. God has a purpose in His cycles. He wants to bring us from low places of lack and despair and poverty and sickness and weakness and infirmity into the cycles of His goodness, His strength, divine health, divine prosperity, divine favor, and so on and so forth. In other words, the Lord wants to bring us into His cycles of blessing and peace. He wants us and our lives to be filled with His peace. These cycles of blessing are revealed in the Bible. Now listen carefully, church. The cycles of blessing are designed to break the enemy's destructive power in our lives. They are designed to draw us closer into fellowship with God. The cycles of blessing are designed to continue year by year, unfolding the revelation that God has purposed for us to be blessed. Blessed above all the people of the earth. Number four, the cycles of blessing are designed to deepen our walk in the Spirit with Him. Church, you can't walk in the cycles of blessing and walk in the ways of the flesh. But you can walk in God's cycles of goodness and blessing as we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit, be obedient to the Word. The Holy Spirit only leads us into the fulfilling of God's Word. And as we learn to walk in the Spirit, we will be walking in God's cycles of goodness and blessing. And then number five, the purpose of the cycles of blessing is to take us individually and our families and those we have influence over into the cycles of the blessing of God. So the cycle of blessing is for you individually, but it is for your family. And we're to teach this to our children and to our children's children. So every year, Victory Faith, we've done this for years and years. We cycle through the feasts that are on God's calendar. They're not on the world's calendar, but they're on God's calendar. The Feast of Passover, which is Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And then 50 days later, we have the Feast of Pentecost. And then the autumn in September, October, we have the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, our booths. And when we cycle through these seven feasts year after year after year, and we're walking in the Spirit, we're being obedient to the Word of God, we find ourselves ever progressing in the blessing. God told Abraham, I will bless you. Abraham is our father. We've been grafted in to the people of God, and the blessing of God is ours. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Church, we are blessed because we believe God. These feasts, every feast tells the story of God's redeeming love. Every feast is redemptive. Every feast has a purpose. Every feast is part of God's divine plan for man. Hallelujah. Church, I'm going to review some things I've taught you for years, but the feasts are called moeds or moedim. And we see this in Genesis 1:14. It says, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. That word seasons in the original language is moedim, and for days and for years. So from the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He told us, I have moedim. I'm setting in order moedim seasons. Now, what does that mean? And by the way, let me say this. Genesis 1:14 regards the passage of time and how we are to live out time in our lives. The word moedim or seasons means in the original language, these are appointed times. Just like I have an appointment book. And if I'm going to go get my hair fixed, I'm going to get my hair cut in that appointment book. I have an appointment with my hairdresser. I write it down. She's written it down. We are definitely going to meet. Well, God has an appointment book. They're His moeds. And the moeds are appointed times. The word moed means to have an appointment with God. Moed means a set time. Year by year, God instituted seasons or moeds to have divine appointments with His people that He might reveal more of His heart and His redemptive plan to them. Church, I don't know all about salvation. I don't know all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I know some things and I'm grateful for what I know, but every year I anticipate these appointed times because I know I'm going to meet with God and He has something else for me to learn about His redemptive plan and cycles. A moed is a set time. In other words, as long as the earth remains, this is not going to pass away. A moed is a sacred season, a sacred time on God's calendar. In other words, it is a time to separate ourselves to Him, to hear from His heart when God draws near to meet with His people. The feasts, the seven feasts, are a means God uses to communicate with His people, deepen our faith. Always my faith is deepened. Enlighten our hearts. I always receive light and understanding. Moeds are times of insight, revelation. They're times to make adjustments. I can tell you I've already made one adjustment. I started today making a new adjustment. Moeds are times realigning with heaven. Because church, you and I can get behind. We can get off track. We can start missing things we ought to be doing. We can become frustrated and we're out of alignment. But if I pay attention to the Moeds and I enter into the feast, the Moeds, I can realign with heaven. I do that every year. It's a time to check ourselves. Are we walking in the Spirit? Church, it's a time of celebration and joy, expressing thanksgiving and gratitude that we serve such a wonderful, marvelous God. So we have entered the first three feasts, the Passover feasts, and that is, it began Monday the 22nd, and it goes through Tuesday the 30th of April. Passover represents, I'm just reviewing some things, the Israelites' exodus from slavery in Egypt after 430 years. They were slaves in Egypt. Oh, what a night it was when Pharaoh told Moses, "You all get out of here." I mean, they had gone through so much, the judgments that came upon Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh had enough. He said, "You and the Hebrew people, you're free to go. You're free to depart." And so it's very good to remember, church, how easily we forget that Passover is about deliverance from slavery. God never intended for even one man to be a slave, but we've all been slaves until we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God wants you to be free today. He wants you to be more free than you've ever been, to love Him, to know Him, to commune with Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, and celebrate with Him. He wants you to have a blessed life and not live a life tormented by the enemy. So the Passover feast has three feasts. The first one is Passover, when the children applied the blood of the lamb to the doorposts of their house. And when the death angel passed through Egypt, he passed over those homes that had been obedient to God, and they put blood on their doorposts. They went in and they ate the lamb that night. And church, so there was a literal Passover that occurred. And then came the time that the true Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was sacrificed. that we all might receive the forgiveness of God and that the blood of Jesus would be applied to our lives. And we have emphasized this one above all the others as we've celebrated the Passover feasts in times past. And Pastor Davies may spend time on that in the next week or two, but I'm going to teach you on another feast during the Passover season today. Then there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the Bible, leaven represents sin. So they had to get all the yeast out of their house, and they made unleavened bread, and the leaven represents sin. And the night of the Passover, when Pharaoh told them to get out, I tell you, they departed in haste. And just something I want to mention about unleavened bread. This feast represents, flee from sin now. Don't live in sin. It means leave sin in haste. Don't act on sin. Make up your mind and understand you cannot live a blessed life and play around with sin. So unleavened bread represents the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no sin in him. But church, we're human. We have flesh, but we're not to tolerate sin in us each year. So as we go through the feast year by year, we should see that our lives are more and more separated from sin and sanctified unto the Lord God. And then the third feast of the Passover season is called First Fruits. And that's the feast I want to spend. Pastor Davies, when I spoke to him about this Passover season, he said, Pastor, I want you to teach on First Fruits, which I already had it in my heart to do that. He confirmed what was in my heart. See, it's good when both your pastors hear from God. Hallelujah. So the Feast of First Fruits, I want us to receive a lot of light on this, church. Please set yourself to receive light. The word for First Fruits is Bikurim, Bikurim, and it literally means promise to come. Promise to come. So First Fruits is an investment in your future. Jesus is our First Fruits. And I have that scripture for you in a moment. Every feast that we celebrate points to Jesus. Church, always know this. As we go through the seven feasts year after year, we're celebrating Jesus. We're learning more about God's plan of redemption and how Jesus fulfilled that plan of redemption. He is the perfect Savior, perfectly redeeming us out of sin and bringing us unto God. Now, let me say this again. First Fruits is an investment in your future. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, you're very familiar with this, but listen to this scripture. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops, or in this modern era, we could say income. Then your barns will be abundantly filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Notice, first you give the first fruits and then the abundance comes. There is a difference between first fruits and tithe, which I will get to. Hallelujah. God promised his people, if they would bring their first fruits to him, he would bless all that would come after they had given their first fruits. Hallelujah. First fruits is not the tithe, in other words, because you don't have the future in your hand yet to tithe with. First fruits is not the tithe, but in the giving of first fruits, we know the tithe will come later as the first fruits brings forth God's plan for our future. Does first fruits have relevance in our generation? It's an Old Testament term, but I'm going to tell you it does. The principle of first fruits is very relevant. I want to ask you, church, do you dread the future? I'll admit, there's so much chaos and rebellion in the earth right now, but I've got my eyes on God. I don't have all the answers for the future. I don't know everything about the future, but I am trusting God for my future. If you're trusting God for your future, then understanding first fruits is vital. Do you want to fulfill the plans and purposes God has for you? Whoops. No matter what happens on earth, is God actually going to enable you to fulfill his plans and purposes in a time of turmoil, in chaos? The answer is yes. God will make a way for the people who are faithful to his covenant and faithful to obey his word. First fruits is mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. As New Testament believers, it is to our benefit to worship God with our first fruits. Now, you can be saved and never give God a single first fruits offering. You can be saved and not tithe. But God has a plan for your blessing and your prosperity, and first fruits and tithing are part of that plan. Hallelujah. All the feasts in Passover, in Pentecost, in the Feast of Tabernacles point to Jesus, and first fruits is no exception. 1 Corinthians 15:20 in the New King James Version says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." Somebody say hallelujah. "And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." He is our first fruits. He's the first to be raised from the dead. Can you say amen? As our Redeemer, he was the first to walk in that. God gave his only begotten Son for us, and he was raised from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave. The principle of first fruits is you give to God first. Whether it's a first fruits offering or the first of your day or the first of your strength, the first of your service, the first of your time. Because church, we're told, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can you say amen? So when you put God first, everything else will be blessed and come into divine order. I want to repeat that. Church, when you make up your mind, I'm going to put God first in my life, everything else after that decision will be blessed and come into divine order. First fruit says to God, when I give a first fruits offering to God, I am saying, because Jesus was our first fruits, it is you, Jesus, that I want. Out of all this world has to offer, it is nothing. I want you. Now, God will grant us his blessing in this earth, but I'm not living for the blessing. I'm living for Jesus. He is my first fruits. He is the one I want, and I want his will. So the feasts are blessed by God. All seven feasts are blessed by God. They're intended to do us good. That's why you can anticipate celebrating them each year. They're intended to do us good. As we acknowledge what God has done for us and we bring him our first fruits offering. You may be newly born again. Well, you have such a reason to celebrate this first fruit as we enter into the Passover season and give God a first fruits offering. God takes us through the seven feasts, I'm going to say this again, year by year, to enable us to make progress. He has progress for us to make, to bring us into more and more of his goodness, and more of his blessing, and more of his favor. When I worship God during the feast of first fruits, and I bring him a first fruit offering, I am saying, this is what the first fruit offering means. My first fruits offering is the first of a new thing you're doing in 2024, 57, 84. Church, every feast cycle, God has new things that he wants to release to us and do for us. So when I bring my first fruits offering, I'm acknowledging, Father, I so anticipate the new things you're going to release to me this year and do for me this year. I put you first. I'm keeping you first throughout 2024, and I anticipate the new things you have for me. Eventually, the new thing will manifest, and you will have it in your possession. And that is when you tithe. Really, you could almost say first fruits is the beginning of tithing by faith on something you don't have in your hand. But you are trusting as you move through the year, walking in the Spirit, that you will eventually worship God with your tithe. Church, with first fruits, I'm entering a new cycle of blessing, a new cycle of revelation, a new cycle of wisdom, a new cycle of grace, a new cycle of favor, a new cycle of God's goodness. First fruits is my faith saying, this first fruits prayer, my offering, and the thanksgiving that I give to you, Father, is the beginning of a new cycle of blessing, a higher cycle, a more powerful cycle than I've ever walked in before. My first fruits offering is my faith saying, I believe I'm entering a new cycle of blessing. First fruit says, I agree with God, and therefore I'm acting on my faith by bringing my first fruits offering this 5784 2024 Passover season. Church, this is very significant. I want you to listen to me. The devil can have us going to and fro, up and down, running in circles. We don't even know where we're going, what we're doing, or what's happening. But when you enter into the feast and you bring your first fruits offering, you are saying and you are acting on your faith to release your authority over a new cycle of time. In other words, events are not just happening to you, but through your first fruits offering, you're taking authority over the year and decreeing a new cycle of blessing in your life. First fruits, I'm going to say it again, is the beginning of a new thing. Day and night, week after week, month after month, until a whole year has passed. But you've put your faith out over the year and over this period of time that the devil will not have his way, but God will have his way in your life. I decree that over you. The devil will not have his way over your life, but God will have his way over your life. Our first fruits offering and the first fruit season decrees, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed from the curse of poverty, sickness, infirmity, oppression, depression, and death. Jesus Christ has redeemed me by the blood of the Lamb from all curses. You are setting yourself in faith and agreement with God that His life, His blessing, His goodness, His prosperity, His favor will cover your life. I'm not saying you won't have any challenges. I'm not saying that the devil won't come to steal the word. Church, that's what he does. He comes to steal the word. But you stand in faith that you are in a cycle of God's goodness and God's blessing. This won't happen unless we strongly agree with God and refuse to back off of our faith. We're decreeing, I'm in a new cycle of God's blessing and goodness. First fruits, let me past midway, and we're kind of going downhill, church. First fruits is part of God's creation work. That means at creation, first fruits was included in His plans and purposes. Listen to Genesis 4, 3 through 5. This is the Amplified Classic. I saw something. I mean, I've seen several things as I prepared this message. God brings you new things when you celebrate the feast. In Genesis 4, beginning with verse 3, it says, and in the course of time, notice that phrase, and in the course of time. In other words, a course can be a cycle. This could be translated, and in the cycle of time. In the course of time, Cain brought the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. It was vegetables, no doubt. And Abel brought of, notice, the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed. What did Abel bring to the Lord? Church, first fruits and firstborn are the same thing. Abel raised cattle, and he brought a firstborn. See, how did Abel know how to do that? Because God taught Adam and Eve how to worship Him. And they taught Cain and Abel. Abel was obedient, Cain was not. Learning to worship God with first fruits. This is a part of creation. It is a part of the way we walk with God through time faithfully and obediently. It is a part of our triumphing over the curse that is in this world, so that we can walk in the blessing that God is releasing in a cycle of time. God's releasing blessings, church. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in them. I know every one of you want to walk in the blessings that God is releasing. First fruits, learning to bring God the first fruits, is part of our triumph over evil, over sin, over all that we're reading about and hearing about going on in the world. It's part of our triumph as we are faithful to God. First fruits is a time of celebration and thanksgiving. I know Pastor Davies and our wonderful praise and worship team will lead you in that. Church, first fruits is a thanksgiving offering. We look at Jesus, who was the first fruits to be resurrected from the dead. Jesus' body was in the grave during the first day of the Passover feast and unleavened bread. But on first fruits, Jesus came out of the grave. He was resurrected from the dead, having defeated Satan, Kabisa. Everyone shout, Kabisa. I can hear you. Hallelujah. Now, we enforce Satan's defeat through our obedience to put Christ first in all things. Church, we are to live our lives putting Christ first in all things. So in 5784, 2024, we bring our first fruits offering with great thanksgiving, with great faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He is the firstborn from the dead, and somewhere there is my number and your number. I was born again. I don't know what number I am, but I know God knows what number. Jesus was the first. He's the first fruits. But then you and I, who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are also born again, and we are part of the first fruits. And so we should worship Christ with first fruits offering. Church, we celebrate in the Passover season His resurrection from the dead. I know the world celebrates Easter, the church, that came later under our forefathers, who were very anti-Semitic. They came up with their own calendar. This is from the calendar of God. But we celebrate Easter. We sanctify it in the name of Jesus, and we do celebrate it. But the real celebration of Christ risen from the dead is the Feast of First Fruits. He's alive today, and I want to ask you, church, have you received eternal life through calling on Jesus and asking Him to be your Savior? There's never been a better day than in celebrating the Passover season and celebrating first fruits by bringing a first fruits offering to Him and recognizing that He is our first fruits. For those of you who know Christ, we want during this Passover season. I've done this. I pray you do this. It's just not that we've been walking in sin, but every year to rededicate ourselves to putting Christ first in our lives and to be wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Church, would you stand up, please? And would you lift your hands before heaven? I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to turn the service back over to Pastor Davies. Church, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have plans and purposes, and that you have a plan of redemption for all men. To save us from sin, to deliver us out of hell and death. But then you have a redemptive plan to bring us into your blessing and your goodness. Father, I pray for everyone in Victory Faith Church that if there is anyone who is not born again, they would be born again today. And I pray great blessing upon this church, upon this body of people. I release the blessing and the goodness of God over 2024, 5784 in the lives of those in Victory Faith Church. Father, may they walk in your goodness and faithfulness this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Church, I love you. I'm sending kisses, hugs, and so much love. And I'm very happy to say I'm going to see you soon. Love each one of you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Go ahead and be seated for a few minutes, and then we're ready to give our first fruit offering. Let me repeat some things that Pastor Carla just ministered to us. This really blessed me. And in fast fruits is an investment in your future or into your future. You are sowing into your future. This is bringing forth God's plan for the future for us. Now, that is really, really important. I'm sowing into my future. I'm sowing into my future. I'm believing God for His plan to manifest into my life. Now, look at this. The events, so many things happening in the world, the chaos that we see in the world. Now, when you're giving your first fruit, which is part of that which she said, you are taking authority. You are taking authority over your future in Christ. You are not letting the events control your life. Or what is happening in the world, the chaos that we see in the world, control your life. You are sowing by faith. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. When you are sowing, you sow your seed, you're expecting a harvest. The harvest may not be in your now, but it's in your future. And the scripture that Mistina read earlier on, don't grow weary in doing it. Can you have that scripture, the Passion Translation, please? Are you able to get it where she read it in Galatians chapter 5? But it's about your future. You're taking charge over your future. And I could remember the scripture, you know, like we have it. Of course, we can use it as a principle. Which says, with this seed, you will possess the gates of your enemies. You are taking charge. The devil wants to take charge over your future. He wants to cause all problems and chaos around us. But I say no. Why would I say no? I say no because I have the word of God. I say no because I have a seed. I say no to his will because I believe in God. He has redeemed me from the curse. I say no to the will of the enemy. Look at this. And don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. Don't. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted. Come on now. It's coming. I don't know when it's coming. It's coming. It's here. It's coming. I will not grow weary. I will not have the devil take over my future. I'm sowing by faith. I'm believing God for the manifestation of his will for my life. Amen. Amen. You keep sowing those seeds of kindness. I was telling the class, membership class, I was in a certain restaurant on Friday. I left here. I'd been here for hours. I became so hungry. I needed to go to a barber shop. You've noticed I shave. But anyway, just kidding. But I needed to go to the barber shop. So as I drove off, I thought, let me go over at that restaurant. Let me see if I can get some samosas. Then I'll have something in my stomach to go to the barber shop. Then as I sat there, it started raining. And I was in a big table all alone, which is able to see four people. And then the place was full. So the supervisor came to me and asked me, excuse me, sir, can you join your table? Is it possible if we join your table with someone else? Because the place is full, it's raining outside there. We are asking you. I said, no problem, do this first. Go ahead and bring them here. They let them come sit here on this table. I'm going out there. I'm okay sitting outside there in that round, small round table, and I'll be fine. He said, no. It's cold. It was becoming cold. But I said, no, I can go and sit out there. I'm fine. And she looked at me thinking like I was offended because she asked me. I said, no, I'm doing it out of my kindness. I'm going to sit out there. He said, sir, no, that's not what I meant. I said, bring them on. And the lady, they were looking for a place for her, for her family. She said, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. I said, you're welcome. So I went and sat outside. It was cold, but I liked it because there was plenty of air circulation, while inside was a bit stuffy. With many people in a smaller room, it becomes stuffy. So I liked it, the circulation, though it was cold. So anyway, so she came back and I said this. I said, it's amazing you do like many people do. They can ask God for something, and when he gives gives to them in his generosity, they are not sure if God gave to them. I was giving that to that family for them to come and sit in. I'm all alone. She said, yeah, I understand. And then she said this, because of that, I'm going to pay the part of your bill. I said, 50% of the bill was covered. You sow your seed. Mine was quick. I wish I hope this will be so quick today. You sow your seed right now, and your harvest comes right now. Mine was so quick, right there. Sowed kindness. The family was comfortable. But listen this. They sowed back kindness to me. I didn't have to pay the whole bill. You're jealous in any way? Listen. I keep saying this. The world is stingy. We must be generous. We don't grow weary sowing those seeds. It's sowing and reaping. Expect. And something that she said that really blessed me was a higher cycle. That for me, she said a higher cycle. More powerful cycle than I've ever entered in before. Let me say something about it. About that. Now, some years ago, I remember when I gave my life to Christ, going even to a meeting, and I didn't have even a coin to give. I remember going to the front, and I told the Lord, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. That's the only offering I have. I didn't have anything, and I did. Now, over the years, I've kept growing, and my wife and I have kept growing. You know, we can do more. We can do more than years ago. Look at this. Now your cycle, you may be you can sow. I'm giving you an example. You understand? You years ago, you had a site. If you got 1,000 shillings, was such a breakthrough. But now you've come to a place. Is now I'm getting. How do I put it? If you gave 100 shillings, was such a breakthrough. Now you came to a place and you gave 1,000 shillings, was such a breakthrough. Now you started expecting more to come. You started expecting like 50,000. Now you've come to a place, you're expecting hundreds of thousands, millions of money coming in. Don't you see that cycle is becoming higher and higher, but is determined by your response or my response to the principle of seed time and harvest. You expect, I'm sowing by faith, I'm expecting to reap more harvest. I am taking charge of my future. I'm giving to God my first fruit, the Passover first fruit. I'm giving by faith. I'm expecting a higher cycle. Freedom, levels of freedom. You say something, Elder Francis, last Sunday. I was watching you. We tried watching online, you know, live, but it wasn't clear. So started watching you in the week, I think on Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday, I think. You said something, I said, yeah, I like that one, brother. I like it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you speak back to messages? I do. I say, amen, brother, amen, glory, hallelujah. You did good. But there's something that you said based on that Revelation 12:11. It says, woe unto the earth. Rejoice, O heavens, but woe unto the earth. You remember that scripture? Were you there last Sunday? Yes. If you are not here, did you watch? All right. Woe unto the earth, rejoice to the heavens. Why are they rejoicing the heavens? I've never connected it in that manner, but the way you said it, which I've said over and over again, we have been raised together with Christ, according to Ephesians 2:6. So to the earth, earthly bound people is woe. Woe unto earthly bound people, because the devil has come with much wrath. But us, we live higher. We think higher. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives even unto death. We overcome him. We've been raised up. Listen, that is a higher cycle. A higher living. A different way of thinking, which is far above this earthly realm. God wants us to operate that way. A higher cycle. Through your giving, you're taking authority, I already say that, over the year, and decreeing a new blessing in your life. You are not just letting the events happen to you. You are taking charge. You are calling those things that be not as though they were. You are, as though they were. You are saying to your future, I'm sowing this seed by faith. And I don't know if you got that one, is this. Giving of your first fruit is actually the beginning of tithing by faith of something that you do not have at hand. I give an example regarding that. It's something that you do not have at hand, but I'm expecting it. I am determining it by the seed that I am sowing. I'm taking charge of my future. I take a seed. I sow it by faith. It's my first fruit. Then I'm expecting a harvest. When that harvest comes, I tithe from it. So it's the beginning of tithing by faith of the things of something that you do not have at hand, but we are expecting. Listen, the principle of seed time and harvest is what defeats the curse. Defeats the devil. How would I say that? As we get ready to give, let me read some two scriptures here. John 12. It amazed me. Years ago when I saw this, John 12, let's start from verse 20 for context purpose. Now, there were certain Greeks. They are not of the covenant. All right? Remember when Jesus was sending out his disciples, he told them, go out to the lost, to the house of Israel, the lost tribe of Israel. In other words, go to the house of the Jewish people and preach the gospel. Remember that when he sent them in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10, sending them two by two. Now, there are certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Which feast was this? I have to check it out. But came to worship at the feast. That should be the Passover feast. All right? Now look at this. It's a Passover. Then they came to Philip. We'll see why I'm saying it's a Passover. Then they came to Philip who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, a Jew, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Look at what it says, verse 22. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. I don't know why Philip didn't want to go direct to Jesus. You understand sometimes your children do that to you? To tell another child to come to you to ask you for something. And you hear so-and-so is asking for this. Why didn't so-and-so come to me directly? God says this, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. But look at this. Verse 23, but Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain, or the version says, it produces much harvest. Now look at what follows next, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now then, what was he talking about back to verse 24? He was talking about his death, his burial, and resurrection. Let me say something here. He used, go back to verse 24, that God used the principle of seed time and harvest to redeem you and I. Remember, God's wisdom is infinite. He's all-knowing. Think about the principles that God knows. They're infinite. His wisdom is infinite. But he chose this law of seed time and harvest for yours and my redemption. Why would I say so? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we just read. Jesus is our first fruits, raised from the dead. Meaning, this is the principle God chose to completely defeat the devil and bring us redemption. It's the same one we use. Remember, every giving should be pointing towards Christ. It's to honor God. So when you give our first fruit, we are enforcing the defeat of the devil. We are breaking curses, every limitation that he has put on us. We say, no more, devil. We have the victory in Christ, and therefore we sow this seed by faith, knowing there is a harvest coming. Don't ever despise your seed. Let's go to last scripture before you give. In Deuteronomy 16:16, the Amplified Version. Not Amplified Classic, but the Amplified Version. Now I can hear you shouting hallelujah for sure. Pastor Carla could hear you, but I can't hear you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now look at this then. Are you seeing the connection? I'm telling you, the world in all its craziness, being defeated in every way, the church of Christ should rise higher and higher and higher to defeat the devil. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. We take our seed by faith. Oh, I don't like they talk about money. What do you want us to talk about? We're talking about principles. We're talking about giving and receiving. You know, like going to a farm and say this. So you're planting your maize so that you can harvest. Oh, I know what you're doing. You're planting maize so that you can harvest. Oh, yeah. That's exactly why you plant your seed, so that you may do what? You may harvest. So what's the problem of us sowing a seed and believing God for a harvest? It's common sense. Look at this. 3 times a year, all your males in Christ, is no, neither male nor female, shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. At the feast of the unleavened bread, Passover, just what Pastor Carla speak about that, this season. And at the feast of weeks, Pentecost, 50 days from today. And at the feast of booths, tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Verse 17, please. Every man shall give as he is able. I love that. Shall give as he is able, in accordance with the blessing which the Lord your God has given you. Listen to this. That's an open check. What are you able to do? I asked the Lord years ago. I was in the Bible school, Jerry Saville Ministers Bible Institute. And the highest amount, let me say it in this manner. In that year 2000, we are paying $1,750 in those 9 months. $1,750. That itself could have thrown me out of that Bible school, because 50 shillings per day was a miracle. Why would I get into $1,750 plan? By faith. I got there because God instructed me to get in. Now look at this. Of those 9 months, the highest seed I gave during that time, and I had to ask the Lord, was 500 shillings. That was such a precious seed to me. It was a huge amount, and I sowed it. That was the highest amount I gave, 500 shillings, believing God for my Bible school fees. Yet, someone came and paid off all my Bible school fees. 9 months, just the month before we graduated, paid everything that I owe to that Bible school. I asked the Lord, how comes? But seed was multiplied that much. And this is the way he spoke to me. He said, that was your precious seed, and you had too much faith going out for the multiplication of that seed. You protected that seed. You wanted it to bear fruit. I responded to your faith. Let me give you a scripture for that. The widow of Zarephath, she had a flour and a jar of oil in 1 Kings chapter 18. What did God do for 3.5 years? He multiplied that seed. It was small when it's being given to Elijah. But listen to this. It was not small to God. God knows how to take a small thing and multiply it back to you. And maybe I'll share with you sometime in the future. I saw something there sharing with my wife last evening about that widow, the widow of Zarephath. Think about this. That jar of oil didn't run out. And that container of wheat flour didn't run out for 3.5 years. That was not dependent on her. That was dependent. Now, she had already given out to the Lord. In fact, what Elijah said, go and prepare what you have said and bring to me fast. Oh, we have to read the scripture. A few minutes, you'll go. I missed you last Sunday. So you must have missed me too. They didn't. Oh, you did. You all did. Let's go to the First Kings, chapter 18. I want you to see something there. Then you are ready to give. Hallelujah. That's actually 17. 1 Kings 17. So Elijah, the Tishbite, verse 2, it says, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you. But that's not the part. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Of course, he went to Zarephath. In verse 10, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. So it's obvious the widow of Zarephath had recognized this was a prophet. Only a handful of flour in a bean and a little oil in a jar. See, I'm gathering. I want you to see something, what lack and insufficiency does. Okay, look at this. As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks. Are you seeing little? Are you in that place today where you feel that way? You have a handful and you have a little and you are gathering a couple of sticks. Not even firewood. Anyone who grew up in the village, you don't gather a couple of sticks. A couple of sticks is children playing around. But this is... In other words, it doesn't take much to prepare this meal. And then he says this, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that you may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Look at the principle of fast. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it. From it. That's the same principle. Who sent Elijah? I want you to respond to me. Who sent Elijah? Who sent Elijah? Who was the widow going to feed actually? The one who had been sent by God and therefore was giving it to God. That's a game changer right there. I'm giving this to God. I'm giving him first. So then my expectation is from him. Now look at this. Give to me. Go do what you said. And bring me, but make me a small cake from it first. You think that small cake was going to be sufficient to Elijah? No. It's the principle. And then he says this. And bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. She could have asked, what is it that remaining? There's nothing remaining after you've eaten a little. But that principle of fast works all the time. Now look at this, what follows. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. What about if that lady, that widow, kept going back to that same place of bin of flour and jar of oil to get so that she can feed all the community? That was available, by the way. I'll teach you another day regarding that. She could have fed the community with that. Or she could have been selling. In other words, open up your mind and your heart beyond your need. And see, the principle is this. I will bless you to be a blessing. I will bless you to be a blessing. She could have fed that whole community. Or probably she could have started the widow of Zarephath International Oil and Flour Provision. Something like that. Are you ready with your seed? Do you see God has a plan to multiply your seed according to what he's given you and according to what you are able? Bring out. If you need an envelope, please, we have a special envelope for that. If you need an envelope, just lift up your hand. I'm telling you, a young person, you may say, I barely have anything. Listen, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. I've been there and I've seen the Lord multiply my seed. So if you need an envelope, please raise up your hand wherever you are. This is a special seed. And if you are watching us online, the details are on the screen. Participate in this. Listen, try the Lord in this. He says that in Malachi, try me in this. Try the Lord in this. And let him show himself strong on your behalf. Amen. You're ready? You're ready? What happens to you when you come to church? I can hear your voice. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, fine. We traveled with someone. And then I think it's you who was driving. And then you asked the guys, not that day, I was driving actually. I asked, are you all okay behind there? You know, do you have enough air? He said, then I think Eddie said, yes. I said, no, brother, speak for yourself. We are three here behind. If you have enough air, say, at least for me, I have air. I don't know about these other guys. But speak for us all. Are we all ready? You're ready with your faith. Stand up on your feet, please. I want us to prepare this seed and give it. And I want to say something here. I want you to make some declarations, then we give, then I'll come and pray. Okay, you ready? Say this. I am sowing for increase.
I am sowing for increase.
I'm taking charge over my future that the Lord has in store for me. I sow for favor. I sow for supernatural doors opening for me in the name of Jesus. I am sowing this seed, stopping the cycles of the enemy and decreeing the cycles of blessings in the name of Jesus. A higher cycle in Christ. I have victory in His name. Father, thank you for every seed sown. We sow it by faith. We have heard the word concerning the cycles of blessing. And we stand in agreement with the word. We sow our Passover fast fruits of seeds with faith. We take charge of our lives and release our lives to you, Father, and decree concerning the future that you have in store for us. We stop the cycles of defeat, the cycles of the curse. We stand against the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony that we are prospering, that the path of a just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter into the perfect day. That in this year, 2024, 57, 84, we decree God's will. In this first feast of the year, we decree God's will. We decree God's purposes. We decree barriers being broken. We are breaking barriers in the name of Jesus. We are breaking barriers in the financial realm. We are breaking barriers in the financial realm. The cycles of blessing than anything we've ever seen before. I decree that over your life in the name of Jesus. We are breaking barriers in the financial realm and seeing the financial blessings that we've never seen before. Father, thank you. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for promotions. Thank you for supernatural increase. In the name of Jesus, thank you for wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, it's your word. I remember you speaking to me clearly on 22nd of August, 1997. Isaiah 45, verse 3, the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places. I decree the word of God for the supernatural opening of those. That financial blessings from places that you could have never thought it possible to come to you. Father, Thank you. Because it's your word, we take it. We take it. We take it. Now, devil, take your hands off the finances of God's people now. In the name of Jesus. Now, prosperity angels, go forth. Go forth. And cause that word to be fulfilled. The treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Father, thank you for your favor. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Thank him like it's done. Thank him. I sense that anointing here. Thank him like it's done. Listen, not as a normal thing that you've done before. Thank him as if it's already done. And rejoice, and rejoice, and rejoice, and rejoice that it's done. 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 Hallelujah. There's still some more. I sense this one will be so different from anything you've known before. Why is that so? Pastor Carlos is saying something here. The cycle becomes deeper and deeper in our walk with God. In that every cycle, we go deeper in our walk with God. Now listen, this is going to be different. I decree it. I decree it. This is going to be different. This is going to be better than anything you've ever known. So I'm telling you, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Thank you, Lord, for the cloud of your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the cloud of your glory. Hallelujah. Come on, rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Shout, shout, shout. Hallelujah. The cloud of his glory. The cloud of his glory. The cloud of his glory. Supernatural increase. Supernatural doors. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you for all you have done in our midst. For the release of the supernatural in our midst, Father. And for testimonies that will follow. And signs and wonders that follow your word. Father, we thank you. We thank you for ushering us into a new realm of your presence, new realm of your anointing, new realm of your power, new realm of your ability. Father, we do thank you for those higher cycles of your blessing upon our lives. I speak your blessing upon your people. I speak the blessing of God upon your life. I speak the blessing of God upon your life. That the Lord bless you and keep you. You are blessed of the Lord, and he's keeping you. He's looking at you with so much favor and kindness. Father, I pray for every single person that has been called into this church, every family, every individual. As we begin even this year, this new month of May, I speak your blessing over your people. Your protection, Father, all their properties, all that you have blessed them with, all their traveling in and out of this city, in and out of this country, I plead the blood of the Lamb. I plead the blood of Jesus, our Redeemer. Over every means of transport, my people shall dwell in peaceful habitations. Father, thank you. I speak that Psalm 91 over them, your protection upon them. And thank you, Father, for granting them your favor. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.